We are live now. And I have to shut off the live music going out over the internet. So
but basically, I mean, the people that shot her, whether it was, you know, I don't know if it was Washington, D.C. police or federal agents, they did their job.
Sure they did.
Okay? They acted within the, you know...
Within their rights.
Yeah, within their rights, within the guidelines of what to do. They cannot tell that girl has a mental issue. They can't tell that she does or doesn't have a weapon. I mean, all they can go by is her actions and what she did leading up to the event.
And they have to consider that she may very well have had a suitcase bomb in that vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't know what they thought was at stake, the reason why they killed her. So but I think they should have shot the tires out of her and been able to try to get her out of that car first, because one way, half dozen the other, it wouldn't have made a difference, and they could have saved a life. But they weren't interested in doing that. They wanted to end the situation, and they did. And every minute there's a wild car on the loose, you got issues.
Yeah, I know that it's a matter of national security.
Well, absolutely. And she,
I also wanted to bring up a turn that, I mean, a lot of times you get on secular things and you'll often talk about the importance of being self-sufficient, having an education. But as we view things in the one religion that I often talk about, they try to encourage their young people and other people who attend their congregation to not to pursue after material gain or pursue after worldly gain because of what the scripture says.
Yeah. The Muslims believe the same thing, believe it or not.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Well, I mean, in other words, what I'm getting at is that I'm getting at appreciation. I mean, I think that all denominations who believe in the Word of God should instill in their young people as well as those who come.
So what's your beef? They don't. So what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, Jeff, is that a spiritual education is more important than a secular education.
Okay. So
the reason why I say that for is because we see people with so-called educations, and this young woman was an educated young woman. You see other people who have educations, and they...
She wasn't that educated, Steve. No, she was not.
People that run for government and that are in other professions, even certain religious people. I mean, if for some reason, if we don't think about the spiritual application, like being obedient to the Word of God, you know, because it do tell us in the Bible, what does it gain a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?
Look, everybody is not a believer in what you say you believe in, and so therefore you cannot hold them to that standard. They're not going to do that, and they're not going to send anybody to people in that church that you talk about that I believe is a cult, and have them educate their children or anything. They don't have a ground to stand on because they've been in error too many times over the years. So therefore, there's nothing happening, Steve. I'm not giving them any place here. And,
I'm not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, you said it. I didn't. But
I'm not. I'm also mentioning about other denominations.
Once again, I don't know. I don't know any denomination that teaches people not to get an education. So
the Muhammad Muslim religion believes certain women aren't.
Well, the women is a different thing. Yeah. They don't even believe women have souls. So you know.
Well, not all sex.
Not all sex.
There's nothing wrong with getting an education, what they call a secular education, but what I'm saying is I'm getting to realize it's more important to get a spiritual
education. Okay, well, then that's the road you have to take, my friend, and so you do that, I believe the same thing, but at the same time, you do not need to neglect a secular, because secular, all the Bible says, with all thy getting, get the understanding, and it says with all your getting, get the wisdom. Though it cost you everything, get it. So wisdom doesn't just come in reading what we have as the Bible. It comes in all facets of life, because truth can be seen everywhere. And it all will point back to the one and true God in my thing. Thanks a lot, Steve. 330-692, you're in there.
Hi, I wanted to get your opinion. I just caught the last commentary there on the thug bike gang that pulled that innocent guy out of the car and beat him up in front of his wife and kid.
Uh-huh.
And how that ties into, I want your opinion. I don't know if you know the story about the guy who works for Department of Homeland Security, and he was making race war videos on YouTube.
No, but I could about imagine.
So it was on all the news channels. He's getting a paycheck from the Department of Homeland, and he's got a website, War on the Horizon, and this guy is radical. And it was on CNN and all the major channels, and he was calling for a race war between whites and blacks, while at the same time working for the Department of Homeland Security.
Is he white
and
or black?
He's black. But he calls Obama homophobic slurs. He calls,
Obama?
He calls Obama a fag. Okay. In his videos, he says that he's not even really black. But it's not just about that. It's about he is trying to educate blacks that they need to take up arms against whites. That's the problem with America. And he's very outspoken. Has a whole website on training for the coming race war, and tying that into these black biker gangs who are, you know, antagonizing this guy and then, you know, pulling him out of his car and beating him in front of his family. I mean,
were they black?
Do you think, who?
No, were they black or were they mixed? Because they looked like I saw a very mixed crowd there, or at least Hispanics in there. But let me make a statement.
The man who beat the window and with his helmet and dragged him out, and the other man who beat the window in the back window, those gentlemen were black.
I did see that.
The guy who threw up his middle fingers to the judge when he was arraigned, that guy was black. Reggie, I can't remember.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
was the guy that the guy in the Range Rover run over, were they black?
The rapper?
I don't know. I'd sing the tape.
No, the guy that's in the hospital that got ran over.
He was black. He's black. He's black.
I don't know if race is really the determining factor.
I
want to
know, should I be preparing for a race war?
Let him finish his statement.
I'm a white guy.
Right. Of course you should be preparing for a race war.
Say what?
Of course, of course you should be preparing for a race war. Races have been at odds in this country since the very beginning of the miscegenation of the races in this country.
So tell me something.
Wait, before you say anything, let's just make it perfectly clear that these guys are thinking the same way Charles Manson thought.
Okay,
Helter Skelter was all about a race war he was trying to start.
Well, I didn't know that.
So you guys are both agreeing with Charles Manson, it seems like to me.
I don't agree.
No, you don't.
I just told him what I thought. I just gave him my honest opinion.
Let me put it like this. Anybody that thinks that they want to start a race war and is black is a fool. Why?
Why?
Because you make up 12% of a whole freaking population. How's that going to work for you? You think you're going to win? It doesn't work that way. Why doesn't anybody bother Red China? Because they can march you into the sea without weapons and beat you. Okay? Plain and simple. So this is foolishness at the nth degree, And this guy needs to be taken out and put in prison for fomenting some craziness out of a government office.
I think he lost his job. I remember
he should have.
He lost his job. And he's obviously mentally ill, talking crazy.
Obviously.
Yeah,
but is there animosity?
My
question is there a growing, it seems like with these incidents bubbling up to the surface, is there a growing resentment, animosity between races, or is
Absolutely.
This tension always, has it always been there since, you know, the beginning of the tensions, and we, you know, we've been able to keep it at bay, but, you know, now they're dragging people from the cars, and you know,
Brown, hold on, everybody, we got to pay bills, so hold on.
Let's pay the bills.
We're going to go to break, and we're going to answer that question right after these messages. And as we go to break, anybody that's talking about that, and yes, there's a growing animosity, but we'll explain that on the other side. And nobody needs to get upset because it's not widespread, and it's, you know, nothing like that. But there is a growing animosity because treatment of black people and other minorities is on the rise. Bad treatment. We'll talk to you later. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown has hired an investigator to look into allegations of sexual harassment against the mayor's chief of staff. Domain Kitchen is now running for mayor himself, and a city employee is accusing him of harassment. Employees of the Youngstown Warren Air Reserve Station are back to work after being furloughed last week because of the government shutdown. The shutdown continues, and that means their paychecks still haven't been approved. When they are, they'll likely be 40% less than normal because of the furlough. A Habitat for Humanity house on Youngstown's east side was robbed. Police say thieves broke into the finished home on Rutledge Drive. Appliances, carpeting, and doors were taken from the home. No one was living there at the time, but a family was going to move in soon. The inside of the house has to be repaired now before that happens. Investigators are still searching for whoever is responsible. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The Cumulus Health Club and Dr. Michelle Capone present today's health tip.
There is a new concept in healthcare for everyone. Instead of having separate doctors for different stages of your life, there is new emphasis on having one physician that is skilled in obstetrics, gynecology, pediatrics, and medicine. One doctor who is with you and your child from conception to birth, through their teens and beyond. Research shows that this makes for better care for you and your child and actually reduces lengthy visits and costs to you, the patient.
Dr. Capone has taken care of my husband and I for many years now. When I got pregnant, I couldn't have imagined anyone else taking care of me and delivering my baby. When my little girl was born, she was right there and will continue to care for her. Dr. Capone cares about us.
My name is Dr. Michelle Capone, and I'm your family's doctor. Let me take care of you and your family through all the milestones of life from birth and beyond. We have two locations in Youngstown and in Boardman. Please call us 330-759-6000 for an appointment today.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Hey, Claire.
Hi, Ann.
How you doing? Amazing.
Good answer. What's going on?
Well, I started taking Amberin. It's a hormone-balancing supplement for women like us who are over 40. Amberin helps you get rid of hot flashes, sleeplessness, and other menopause symptoms.
You make me want to try Amberin.
Oh, Claire, you should do it. And if you want to try Amberin before you buy it, all you have to do is just ask them for a free sample.
Wow, free?
Call now and ask for your free sample of Amberin at 1-800-424-7310. That's 1-800-424-7310.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, talking to you about what's on your mind and giving you a little bit of what's on our mind. Jeff and Ben here hanging out today again.
Hi.
Man, what they do with you? You don't have the Obamacare shut down your business too?
Yeah, mostly. But yesterday you were wearing Cleveland Browns colors, and now you're wearing the former Cleveland Browns Ravens colors today. Purple today, huh?
It's like this, man.
Cleveland Browns,
I represent.
Browns Ravens.
As long as they have Ossie Newsome, I will be a fan.
He's in the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
Mm, I believe he is,
yeah. He should be.
Mm-hmm.
Not for what he did as a Brown, because that wasn't that much, but what he did as a Raven? What he did as a Raven?
No.
Ossie
Newsome, Ossie Newsome was awesome as a Brown.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Great player. I think he spent most
great.
Of his career with the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. But what he did as a Ravens director of personnel?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The front he made a great front office.
Oh, yeah. He must have studied the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He beat them enough.
I've heard Jim Brown say very, very respectful, kind things about Art Modell.
Yeah. He didn't have a problem with Art. You know what?
No.
I don't blame Art. I don't blame Art for moving the team.
I found out
the story. See, when you find out the story, that here it is, Art Modell begged and begged to get a stadium out of in Cleveland.
A smaller one.
A smaller one, but
in order to sell out.
Right, so he could sell out and he can do this, that, and
so
the other one.
Blackened out in TVs.
They gave the Indians a thing first, and Art Modell was really in line to get it, but they gave the Indians a stadium first and did not, you know, give him the new stadium until, you know, till after the team changed hands, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So evidently they slighted Art Modell in Cleveland probably because of his Jewish background, because Cleveland is not a very friendly city racially. And,
really?
Oh, my God. You're talking about going to the west side, okay? You know, even though you have your Jewish sections of town up by Shaker and all the...
Yeah, that's a very... Well...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was very friendly to most religious...
No, not at all. No, not to different peoples. They are very, very, very clannish there, and I'm not saying Ku Klux Klanish, but I'm talking about Klanish period as far as...
Like the Italian state of their section.
Italian state of their section, the Polish state in theirs, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's that German area. You have all of that stuff very designed, just like here. Here in our area, it's like that.
Just like many cities all over the country.
Precisely, but with a little bit of attitude. Because, once again, I'll tell you, Cleveland has a black backup quarterback that was number two, and when what's his name?
Fry or
no, right this year. Hayden, what's his name? What's the quarterback?
Oh,
Hoyer's the third string.
Hoyer. I don't know who was starting this year.
Whedon. When Whedon got hurt, they threw the third string guy in instead of the second string guy. So you tell me why they did that one. Why they didn't pay for right away for
Cripps.
Yeah, for Joshua Cripps.
Hey, you know what, though? Hold on.
Do you think race or ethnicity has something to do with that?
Yes, I do.
No,
really?
Because the guy that they got now, who's already run back a touchdown, I mean, is much younger, much faster, much better than Cribs is now. I'm not saying
this guy is, but he just came along, though.
Yeah, and so they were right for getting rid of Cribs. They don't need.
I didn't say about getting rid of him. They waited years before they paid him right. That's what I'm saying. When he was their kickoff returner.
Well, that's his stupidity. I mean, he signed the contract.
No.
He signed the contract.
When his contract came up, they waited till the very last minute to sign. And he had more points on the board or more yards on the board than anybody else on the team at that time.
He had more years behind him, too.
Didn't matter.
He was long in the tooth.
It has to be very hard being a Cleveland sports fan.
Almost as hard
at times,
as a Pittsburgh Pirates sports fan.
At times. Hey, I got somebody.
Pirates are hanging in there. They might get a chance to meet my Dodgers and get their hat handed to them. But,
the Dodgers
go
are my
big
second
blue,
favorite
though.
Team.
Go Big Blue last night.
Yeah. Hey,
if you watch that.
Chavez Ravine, that's the most beautiful place to see a ball game ever.
Dodger Stadium.
Really?
It's nice. There's a number of nice stadiums. I've been going to Chevres Ravine quite some time since I was a very little dude.
It's beautiful there. And you got to go when the Mets play the Dodgers there because there's more Mets fans than Dodger fans on those nights.
Speaking of Cleveland, though, I have somebody from the Cleveland area code coming in. 216, you're in the air.
Yeah, you got me going now. I've been listening the last few weeks. The show has been outstanding, but I've been trying to save my cell phone. But you got me going now. Yesterday's show with Propaganda Day with Doom and Gloom was excellent. But today, come on now. They went to the third-string quarterback because he's better. And he proved
better than
it.
What?
Better than Jalen Campbell, the second string.
Then why was he designated as the third?
Well, because they got him last. You know, they had Jason Campbell, and then at the last minute they brought in Brian Hoyer. Well, why would they want to not win? Why would they, because of the color of someone's skin? Come on now.
Josh Cribbs, you know
where Josh Cribbs is now? We love Josh Cribbs, but you know where Josh Cribbs is right now?
No.
Josh Cribbs is out of football right now.
Yeah,
no one picked up Josh Cribbs because his skills have diminished.
Well,
not because he's black.
I'm not talking about when his skills were diminished. I'm talking about when his skills were on point. They didn't want to pay him right.
He was a mediocre wide receiver, greatest kick returner in the NFL. We love him here. Love Josh Cribbs.
Yeah,
but
plus,
he was a mediocre wide receiver.
Plus he can throw that ball.
You can't pay him top dollars, though, just for kicking running back kicks. And then when they changed the rule to the kickoffs, he's useless now, basically. But anyways, Brian Hoyer is a better quarterback. I think he proved it.
Where's Brian Hoyer from? He's
local
from
Cleveland guy.
No. Where did he go to college? Did he go to college Penn State?
He went to Michigan. He went to Michigan State.
Listen. The reason why they picked Hoyer instead of the other guy is not necessarily because he's better. Because in the preseason, the second string cornerback was winning games, okay? He was making yardage and making those plays happen. So I'm not buying that. I'm telling you the reason why they did it primarily is they can sell tickets when you have a local boy there and they have a local guy there, and so they automatically picked him just to sell tickets. They don't care whether they win or lose.
Jeff,
you have to understand, if they got a
local
guy,
boy,
he's going to boost sales.
Yeah.
I will buy that, but I'm not going to buy it because
NFL
he's white,
teams,
though.
Each NFL team is guaranteed millions and millions of dollars because of the NFL contract.
Whether they win or lose.
Right, and I'm sure most teams would prefer to have a full stadium, but the amount of money that they get from the NFL, the television contracts, it dwarfs ticket sales.
It does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know how much of a factor that really is.
I can't wait till they get another team back in L.A. When I was out in L.A., we had two teams out there.
Yeah, it did.
Now there's none. They've got to get one back.
Let me say something.
It's unbelievable. Cleveland can get a team within a year or two. We've got the USC Trojans, but no, that's a good point. I don't see it happening anytime soon. It's been 20 years, and there's no rush.
Cleveland fought hard for that team. We fought hard for that team. Me personally, we called the NFL offices daily. We battled hard to get that team back that we rightfully deserve.
No doubt. After that punk
Art Modell took him away. It was the city's fault all you want. You know what? He took a team that sells out the stadium, one of the most popular teams, one of the most storied franchises in history, and took him to Baltimore. Like a punk that he is.
Well,
he should have waited for a stadium.
Out.
He should have sold the team to someone else. He ruined a storied franchise.
He did it pretty much like what LeBron did. I'm looking at all.
Yeah.
I was right there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the mayor that was there? Wasn't his last name White?
Mayor White.
Was, Frank White. Yeah, Mike White.
Yeah, Frank White. It may have been racial. They got the Browns and the Whites. They didn't want to get
together. Don't laugh at his jokes, y'all. Please, because you encourage him when you do that.
Hey, but on a serious note, on the race war, you got anyone who thinks there's going to be a race war is out of their mind. I mean, I don't know. Propaganda Day was yesterday. You guys got to talk serious today.
I'm so glad. I would rather talk about Cleveland sports, which probably has to be one of the most boring topics for a Los Angeles person ever. I mean, it's season sports, but then there's race war, because I actually did a couple. I actually did a couple of Google research, and I just was afraid that I was
Look, so there's another former Cleveland star in trouble now.
Yeah,
Braylon Edwards assaulted somebody.
He couldn't.
You know what? That's a shame. He's really a good. He's a good guy. He's had a DUI. He's a good guy. Do you know that he gave? I think he made some type of promise to some school kids that he would sponsor. You know, if they finished high school, he would sponsor them to go to college. And he played for the 49ers 1 year, and it wasn't working out, and they cut him at the end of the year, and which, you know, they stopped his income. And he still fulfilled and kept his word. He's not that bad of a guy.
No, he's not.
I would like to hear what the president is saying about this, about the Washington Redskins. If they change their name, I won't ever let them play on my TV again, ever. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they name. They can name them the Washington Jeffs, and I could care less. They'd never get on my TV.
Really?
With my last name, too. No.
I think one way.
Playing the Browns in the Super Bowl. Would you watch
them?
No.
Definitely.
One way they may be. Somebody else's TV.
Yeah. I got a compromise.
Watch them.
I don't want them to do it either. I don't want them to do it either. But if they did, what about the Skins? People call them the Skins anyways, you know, playing the Skins. What if they just did the Washington Skins? I think I could accept that. What do you think?
No, maybe.
No, I have skin. That's not a one guy.
But you know what I mean? That wouldn't be.
Hey, the
bad.
Washington Multicultural Skins. How about that?
There we go.
This is stupid. And then they got some stupid Indian tribe to go ahead and press for this to happen. This is ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just sorry. I can't go for it. I'm sick of the stupidity and the sensitivity. I'm so sensitive.
Actually, you know, I can't deal with it.
You're not showing a lot of empathy, Jeff. If it offends some people.
But yeah, I would understand if the Redskins were, you know, I mean, they're warriors, and that's what the football team's all about, you know, fighting, winning. And it's an honor that their culture is revered as a strong fighting culture. I mean, if I was a Native American, I think I'd be proud to have a team named after.
How's it gonna look on the logo if it's just the Skins and all you get is some potato skins?
I mean, if they want to do the Italian Stallions, I'm okay with that. I mean, if they want to,
But what if they do the Dumb Wop, Washington Dumb Wops? Are you okay with that?
Oh my gosh. We are.
That you're not okay with. See, Redskins is derogatory.
If you're
going
to call them dumb,
if
you're going to
call us just wops, I got no problem with that either.
But I bet a lot of people do, though.
Because we're going to lay a whopping on you. See?
See, I think we are being a little insensitive here. It is a derogatory name. And it is
a whole race of
people. Sure it is.
That's not derogatory, though.
To them it is. I
don't know if it's derogatory. It's insensitive, but... You know, they've been the Redskins for so long.
I know,
and,
I'm with you.
And I don't know, even, you know, the most bleeding heart of all, I don't know who's actually really oppressed or offended by that.
Well, it's because they're a small minority. They're a tiny minority. If they were a larger minority, it'd be an outrage.
Well, thanks to Manifest Destiny and the kind visitors from Europe, which a lot of us have some...
Yeah. See, I think there is something to it, though. I mean, I don't know the answer, and I don't want to change the name, but I do think there's something to it. It is insensitive. It does bother people.
Wow.
I think we have to acknowledge that, even though I don't know what to do about it. I mean, one
I
of
don't
their
acknowledge
team, name
that
because
I think it's a bunch
of
mess.
Well, you know something? Remember when they were the Baltimore Bullets, and then they moved to D.C.?
They were the Washington Bullets.
What's the name of that now, Dan?
They became the Wizards.
We gotta go to break.
Can we go in the green room?
But we are going to be behind time. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We will be right back talking about everything that's on your mind and the coming race war.
Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A week later, the federal government is still shut down, and both sides are still far apart on a way to end it. Democratic Florida Senator Bill Nelson.
Let's remember the reason that we are in this conundrum. A small group in the House want to have it their way to defund the Affordable Care Act and thus have caused the shutdown.
But House Speaker John Boehner says the GOP is not to blame.
Refusing to negotiate is an untenable position. And frankly, by refusing to negotiate, Harry Reid and the president are putting our country on a pretty dangerous path.
The president will hold a news conference this afternoon at the White House. Another deadline is quickly approaching. It's to raise the debt ceiling. ABC News financial contributor Betty Lou says the markets are watching.
Bankers on Wall Street say, look, they don't believe Washington is that crazy, that reckless to let this happen.
If the government does go into default, tens of millions of Americans could lose Social Security money, and countries that lend funds to the U.S. might not get their payments. The Supreme Court's hearing a major campaign finance case.
Alabama businessman Sean McCutcheon is challenging the federal law, which limits how much one person can contribute to candidates for federal office. $2,600 per candidate per election, $48,600 for all candidates for federal office. The Supreme Court in 2010 ruled that corporations and labor unions can contribute unlimited amounts of money in elections.
ABC's Vic Ratner in Washington. Health officials are urging people to handle chicken carefully and to cook it thoroughly after a salmonella outbreak made hundreds in 18 states sick. The Dow is down 91 points. The NASDAQ is off 63. This is ABC News.
Marsha's identity thief wasn't a stranger. It was her best friend, her roommate. She put Marsha close to $100,000 in debt. Marsha ended up losing her home. A few years later, it almost happened again. But this time, she was armed with the proactive protection of LifeLock services. Shockingly, she again knew the thief trying to steal her identity. It was her son's friend, attempting to get a loan in Marsha's name. With LifeLock's help, Marsha was able to stop the fraudulent loan before it could damage her finances and good name. Marsha found out the hard way that identity theft has become so complex, you simply can't fight it alone. Your personal and financial information is everywhere. Don't make the mistake of thinking identity theft will never happen to you. Visit LifeLock.com now and enter promo code AWARE or call and mention AWARE for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call 1-800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. 800-305-2203. No one can prevent all identity theft.
A product now in development offers some unusual information and adds new meaning to the term death watch. Here's ABC's Karen Chase.
Would you wear a wristwatch that not only tells time, but tells how much time you have left?
Ticker, the death watch that counts down your life.
The ticker predicts your time of death by factoring in weight, age, and health habits, and is meant to make you think.
Imagine someone told you that you only had 1 year left to live. How would that change your life?
Creators say when forced to face your own mortality, you make better decisions.
Happy or upset? Tick-tock. Anger or forgiveness? Tick-tock.
They say it should remind wearers to make the most of every second. Karen Chase, ABC News.
The Chinese government says this is a no-no. A village party official is being investigated by a Communist Party commission for throwing his son a three-day, $260,000 wedding. The father is a deputy director in his village. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hey, Claire.
Hi, Ann.
How you doing?
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Stop in today at your local Ford dealer and see why Ford is the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio. With so many options and attractive leasing, there is no reason to consider any other brand. Visit DriveOneOhio.com for details.
Hey, Claire.
Hi, Ann.
How you doing?
Amazing.
Good answer. What's going on?
Well, I've started taking Amberin. It's a hormone balancing supplement for women like us who are over 40. Amberin helps you get rid of hot flashes, sleeplessness, and other menopause symptoms.
You make me want to try Amberin.
Oh, Claire, you should do it. And if you want to try Amberin before you buy it, all you have to do is just ask them for a free sample.
Wow, free?
Call now and ask for your free sample of Amberin at 1-800-424-7310. That's 1-800-424-7310.
Wounded warrior Dale Beatty is beginning the most important journey of his life.
Colonist Swift 1-2 is en route with urgent ASAC. Now, copy.
From the battlefield to home. Home to some very good medicine. His family's love. They'll be staying together at a Fisher House. Fisher House Foundation provides comfortable housing and other services to the families of wounded warriors and veterans while they receive care at military and VA hospitals. Remember those who serve and sacrifice. Make a donation to Fisher House, because a family's love is good medicine.
Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, a local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you. Global topics and news of the day. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We really need job. We just got to get the corruption out of our government.
The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to News Talk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back once again. Jeff and Ben in the chair today.
No.
In two separate chairs today.
Yes. I'm not sitting on your lap anymore.
Anymore. Man, please. Even as a man. No, we'll leave that alone, man. You better.
Hey, by the way, I was thinking about it.
What's that?
A race war already does exist in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's called NASCAR.
What about your sticks where you at, man? I had a local caller. You got dumped off the system by mistake, brother. Anyway, we're talking about what's on your mind, about what's on our mind here on WSOM 600 AM and WSOM 600 AM on your iHeart Radio and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends and TracyandFriends.com as well. So we are back again. Wait a minute. I never had Diva in. How was she going to talk to somebody during the breaks if I had? That's because she told me to turn the radio off, you know, so they could talk in the room. I didn't even unhook her button yet.
Well, it's amazing how many people said leave the radio on so they don't have to talk to Diva.
But
that's okay.
Diva, I wouldn't take that if I were you. Diva, I wouldn't take that if I was you. I'd call up and give Ben 2 cents. Give him my 2 cents, I'm telling you.
Well, we got to bait her into calling somehow. I'll give you a free lunch.
Yeah, free lunch.
Oh, wait. She already gets that from the government.
Oh! That's too much. Too much. Anyway, the shutdown. Listen, they kept the congressional gym open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And the golf course. Mm-hmm.
But you know what they took away? Now, this is what the president did. This is not the Republicans doing it.
Let's see. You can't see any monuments.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. They closed the road that runs around Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, well, they closed
so you can't
World
even
War
see
II.
It.
You can't wait. What they're going to do, the World War II monument, is that's on the national lawn. It means you can't even walk across the street to go see a monument.
Wait a minute.
They built something around it.
They built something around it so you couldn't go see it.
And how much did that cost?
They don't watch that monument 24 hours
a
day.
Well, I heard there's a bunch of veterans that are going to march on D.C. to get these monuments reopened.
Well, the truck drivers are down there today.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how that...
Can we put all the Congress out in the street so they can run over them?
Oh, that would be nice.
Or wait, I can't say that, can I?
Well, no, the Congress is okay. We need to get rid of all of them.
And the president will be first in line?
The only two I want to keep out of Congress is Rand Paul.
And Art Boehner.
The Hispanic guy, Cruz.
Cruz.
Yeah.
He's been pretty, some radical stuff there, too. I like him.
I do like him. I like him better than I like the...
Well, if the Pentagon ever marches on D.C., please leave those two out so you can put them in power.
We need those two.
Yeah, the rest you can, try, convict them of treason and shoot them.
All right, Diva. You can go ahead and say something. Hello.
I really have nothing to say. I'm just listening to the mindless banter.
Yeah, but you got dogs. What you got in the background where I'm echoing when you're talking your phone?
Sad thing is that this mindless banter actually teaches her something.
I bet you it's an Obama phone. You might as well jump on me for that, man. Come on.
The Obama phone is for mindless banterers.
I'm not necessarily a defender of the president. I'm not a defender of the president at all. I just think,
I understand.
The shot should be fair. I'm on record. I will say something. I replayed the end of yesterday's show. The part where I just didn't think Mount Rushmore was that big of a deal and you guys were making a mountain out of molehill in the organic way that I tried to get on the website, that's one of the biggest laughs I ever heard on this show. I mean, everybody laughed at that loud. It was like
pandemonium.
But
it was funny.
No, it was funny because I'm like, wow, why would they shut the damn website down?
Because they're like that.
But it doesn't take any people to man a website. It doesn't cost any money. It doesn't do any... I mean, a website's a website. It's just there. Why would they take the time to shut the website down? And then, I saw the point that you guys were getting at.
Good.
I saw the point that you guys were getting at. It's, I guess when you're in a battle of pettiness, and that's exactly what both sides have, or just like... They're like, it seems like two children blaming each other for why the window is broken.
To me, it's like you've got two sides down in D.C. They're both millionaires fighting over pennies, but those pennies mean a lot to us, working class people. And I'm upset at both sides. I really think we need to push the reset button when it comes to America government. Because somewhere it went terribly wrong.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I don't know the answers. I don't have the answers. I mean, I wish I did. But, like I said, if the Pentagon wants to march on Washington, D.C. and oust all those criminals, I'm 100% for it right now.
Right.
I think everybody, who's a tax-paying, working American citizen, should have to take a turn at government.
No.
Yes, I believe so. I mean, more than just voting.
Who wants to be that disingenuous, two-faced, and talk out of both sides of their mouth?
Well, I get your point there, but listen, if we're to take part on juries, okay, I mean, if we're tax-paying American citizens, I think we have a duty... to help and serve our country in any way, possible, other than the military.
Right, that's what they'll have you do. If you want to help, join.
Yeah, if you want to help, we'll say go to the military. But no, I think, come on. Listen, Mr. Brown, I think you could do a better job than anybody down there in D.C. right now. And I think I could, too. I think Jeff could.
Let me tell you this. Brown, you've amazed me over the last couple of days. We just evidently just got off on the wrong foot a couple of weeks ago. But I've enjoyed your commentary. And like you, but check this. Like you, the last election, I couldn't vote in that presidential election. I saw no difference in anybody running.
Slight differences. Well,
yeah,
of my reasoning is I realized how I got had. I realized how I had this candidate, this biracial candidate that was talking about change and transparency, and he was addressing all of the issues that I had with the Bush administration, and I was looking forward to change, and he really talked a really good game, and as Bill Maher said, he's just turned out to be Bush with the tan.
Maybe a little bit worse, but you know what really gets me is that he told you what he was all about.
He did. But
I mean, you know what? I've read both of his books even before he was a candidate, because he was popular among some people. I never thought he had a chance. I'm like, you're going to tell me a half black guy who admittedly smokes weed and does cocaine, whose middle name is Hussein, if you think he's going to get elected in this country, I've got news for you. I would have bet anything on it that he wouldn't win. And I still couldn't even, I was pinching myself the day after he was elected. I said, I can't believe this guy won this election. I really can't believe it. This is not the America that I know. But I don't get any indication that, I didn't get any indication from anything that I heard about him or read about him, that he was going to continue the status quo of the Bush administration. And as much as many on the right would not like to accept that, you can go categorically down the line, and there hasn't been that many changes in those policies. In fact, some of the more egregious policies have been intensified, but you'd have to be really fair-minded or just objective just to look at it and see it that way.
Well, here's the thing that I say. Not only did he continue the Bush policies, he accelerated them,
right,
and put them on steroids, and that's what I don't understand.
Understand, Jeff. It's very easy to understand, and I won't belabor the point, but I'll get right to it, that there are forces far greater than the political operatives or administrators that we see that are controlling.
Absolutely. I agree.
If this guy that talks it this way has continued the status quo of the policies and intensified, you know, the NSA, intensified so many things, it makes it real obvious that these guys, these figureheads, these administrators that we see are working for someone that with a different, completely different agenda.
How about the World Bank?
Well, the World Bank, I mean, the World Bank is a part of it.
I mean, whoever,
it's not the World Bank, so to speak. The World Bank is part of the United Nations. But, yes, the bankers, the money.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, the international
the
bankers.
George Soros being one of them.
You know, when the right speaks only of George Soros, they seem to forget the Koch brothers, and they seem to forget the Adelson fella.
It's just about
I don't believe. I don't believe any of those. Whether it be George Soros, who's supposed to be on the left, or Adelson and the Koch brothers supposed to be on the right, they're probably all friends with each other.
Well, you know, you got to judge them by their actions.
That's what I'm referring to.
And if you look at the actions of George Soros, who was a Jewish collaborator in a Nazi camp in his youth, okay, he collaborated with the Nazis, okay, and then in 54 when he took down, you know, England, single-handedly destroyed their economy, and he did it on purpose and was proud of it. Because he wanted to bring them to their knees.
That's what bankers do.
Well, you know, it may be. How many of them do you know of them go around bragging about it? And then you have to also realize he said he wanted to do this to America. And who did he fund during the election?
By focusing only on him, because he takes a progressive liberal stance and ignoring what the Koch brothers do and ignoring what Adelson does, you're not understanding the whole schematic.
Well, then explain to me what the Koch brothers have done other than create jobs and make money, which is basically the American dream.
If that's how you feel and you feel that they're job creators and they're not using their money and their influence to create policy.
I don't disagree that they're not doing that to create policy. But tell me, what policy have they done, what have they created, that has hurt the American public?
See, that's the whole thing.
I can probably address that with a little research.
Please do. I'm not going to bother to do that.
That's not the point that I'm getting at. The point that I'm getting at is these are all just players in the game, and what they help to do is to polarize people like you and I that probably don't agree on most things. Okay,
exactly.
So they're creating this atmosphere of polarization where you and I are not going to agree, and we're going to debate each other. We're not going to like each other, and it's all a charade. It's all a sham. They're just playing their position. They're playing their position, and the position is divide and conquer. Whereas you and I, Jeff came to the epiphany yesterday, like, wow, this Brown, wow, he's not as bad as I thought I was. We disagree.
Because you wouldn't call me names.
You do the same thing. You do the same
thing. But I fire back with some fire upon.
Yeah.
You do the same thing.
Mr. Brown, it's not just that. And I react the same way.
But there's a lot of commonalities.
This is true. But also you have to realize, the differences are there to be talked about. I mean, that's the American way. And it's the extreme left and the extreme right that are saying, no, we can't talk about these things.
That's a nice
and you know what?
We're
going to talk about it on the other side of this break because I got to go pay some bills. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. Alex, you will be up as soon as we get back. Afternoon with Tracy and friends will be right back.
Hello? Put me in the green room all by myself.
Nope, we're all here.
All right. All right. If I only had a friend.
Yeah, I'm in here with
you. Well, I don't get you. I thought I had you pegged, but you threw me for a loop this week.
That's part of the reason why I have difficulties with being categorized and fit into the box. And people like to fit people in a box. And I don't know. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm just being myself.
No. You're not disappointing me.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm saying that facetiously, but no. I like to think that I genuinely do have an open mind. Now I have my biases and my opinions on things, but they're subject to change as well. And I'm also getting older. And as you get older, you do become a tad more conservative. I'm just not going to reject the truth wherever I find it.
Well, that's very noble.
I don't know. These people are slaves to it. People find themselves slaves to an ideology. And I don't know what threw you for a loop.
Because normally you're always arguing with Jeff.
You know, if someone wants to be nice and civil, I can be nice and civil. He acts a jerk sometimes. I like to jerk right with him, you know? That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. I mean, go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
I am now.
Yes, I can recognize his voice now.
You have a pretty distinctive voice and everything.
Well, she thinks I sound like Alabama, which is ridiculous.
No, nothing. No, you don't sound like Alabama. No, not at all.
Because now how I can distinguish you guys, you sound a lot laid back, and Alabama has a very southern accent, and he's very passionate.
It's a big difference, right? I can tell the difference.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you guys what you thought this was going to be the outcome of this of the standoff between Democrats and Republicans on the shutdown, because what I'm looking at is the Republicans seem to be they're kind of splintered, they seem to be falling apart. As you know, I'm not a Republican. I'm more a libertarian, whatever. But because they're getting mad at Cruz because they feel like they let him down a blind alley, because essentially no matter what they do, they don't have the votes to get 2/3 of Congress to override any veto that Obama does. So. You know, any bill that
they're not even introducing anything different. They're trying to extort him into making concessions on the Affordable Care Act, and he's
right.
Standing his ground on it, rightfully so, because it's gone through the whole court system, and the last court of the land spoke on it. I have no idea. You know, I don't have any idea. I didn't think that it would get to this. The talk before that this would be political suicide for the GOP to take it as far as a government shutdown. But
here's the thing about GOP that I've noticed, especially on Capitol Hill.
Right, at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Back in my little corner.
Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back here at 1:28 in the afternoon here on a Tuesday afternoon, talking to you about what's on our mind and a little bit of what's on your mind as well. And we are talking to Alex here on WSOM 600 AM. Alex!
Hey, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we was talking over the break a little bit about the shutdown business. And, you know, the Republicans, your boys are falling apart in Congress. You know, there's reports that they had a closed meeting, the Republicans, and they were screaming at because they felt like they let them down a blind alley, because no matter what they do, you know, they will never get the votes for 2/3 of Congress to override Obama's veto, because he's going to veto anything that doesn't, you know, support his flagship healthcare, you know, so Obamacare. So, you know, I'm just, I think Republicans are going to cave. I think Boehner is going to cave eventually. Within 7 days, I think Boehner is going to cave, because, you know, he's always been spineless to me. Yeah, I think he's going to cave, though, because
he's definitely talking out of both sides of his mouth.
He has no choice.
You know what? And you can see what's happening. They're getting inundated with faxes and emails and phone calls that they better do something about stopping this Obamacare, and they're serious. And then now you have this new, you know, Tea Party-ish faction that's hardcore, that's willing to, you know, take the fight to the people, whether they have take the fight to the president and to the old guard Republicans. They've got quite a mess on their hands. Well, anyway,
I agree.
It's a shame that all of, you know, hopefully the suffering won't get greater, or the problems won't get greater than, you know, not being able to go up to Mount Rushmore or even visit the website.
Local caller, you're in the air right after Brown here.
No, that's all.
Local caller.
Okay. Obamacare is just so that they can get more money off of us to supply the government with more fraud and waste. And the second thing, Jeff, I asked for your fax number. You did not give it to me.
Yeah.
Time. I went down to the post office. It's coming in a vanilla envelope with your name on it. Make sure you read it. It's the first 9 pages. that's about Obama's birth certificate. And after that, it's a lot of stuff.
I really appreciate that, too, because I didn't get around to it. I got this distracted, and I appreciate that. And then when I get your information, I'll communicate with you on the side. Are you on Facebook?
No.
Okay.
And Sheriff O'Powell's got a lawsuit down in Alabama about Obama's illegitimacy right now.
I know that, and I've been looking at that.
You remember the one pharaoh in Egypt history that wasn't listed on the list of pharaohs, where all his things were like chiseled off and
Akhenaten.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be Binder. I mean, that's going to be Obama 200 years from now.
I don't know, but
or it's going to be the president we want to forget about.
Well, it was Jimmy Carter, but
yeah, Jimmy who?
Jimmy is turning to handsprings and having barbecues down in Plains.
I mean, literally, after Obama, they may just burn down D.C. and go to have the capital somewhere else.
Well, it's,
they'll move it to Thieves. Oh, no, that's where Obama is.
Well, here's the thing.
When you come
out of Chicago.
When you say that, you leave the impression that the Bush administration was successful.
Much more successful than this. And I can tell you why. Even after 9/11 hit and almost destroyed our economy, he kept it running for 6 years until the Democrats took over. And until that time, unemployment was low. Until that time, we still had a strong economy, and it pulled us up out of that hit that we got, even though we were in recession when he took over.
And here's the big difference for me. When the economy got in trouble under Bush, what did he do?
He cut every tax-paying American a check for $600.
Do you guys remember that?
Mr. Brown, do you remember?
The difference between Obama and the administration, I like to be called Beasley.
Go ahead, but tell
Beasley.
Me.
Okay, Beasley.
Beasley, Mr. Beasley. You remember when the economy got in trouble under the Bush administration? Remember they gave every tax-paying American
$250 or $300.
I think some got $600.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Whereas under the Obama administration, they just gave it to big business, and they didn't bail out anything, and they didn't change mark to market, which is what caused the problem in the first place.
Precisely.
Well, no, that's
and
not what caused
brought
the
that to light.
Can
you
I
remember? Does anyone remember September and October of 2008 when Lehman Brothers went belly up? And that within a 60-day period, investment banks and institutions, there was a domino effect because of their interconnectivity.
Right.
And it put everything on a brink where you have the Treasury Secretary drafting a one-page letter basically demanding $700 billion and don't worry about what I do with it. If you guys think that is the results of a successful administration.
That's the failure of an unsuccessful business. Here's the thing that's going on.
That was the tail end of the mismanagement and the neglect and the ineptitude of the Bush administration. And for you guys to ignore that.
No, we're saying it wasn't the Bush administration as much as it was business.
It makes so many people see the people on the right that speak like that. We see
right.
you guys as being in some type of bubble that's shielded from
reality. But the Lehman Brothers and businesses like that are the ones that Obama, the bailouts
Obama
benefited.
Wasn't even in office when that happened. What are you talking
I'm not,
about,
I didn't say
friend?
That.
No,
I didn't say
point.
That, Beasley.
That's not the point.
I said that the same Obama bailouts benefited the same people.
That was a Bush bailout that Obama signed off on. What does that tell you?
Right. Right. I'm agreeing with you.
We agree with you on that.
That's
but
what I'm telling you.
But see, I'm taking it a step further. First of all, you have to understand, Bush is controlled, and Alabama, you'll be right up next. Bush is controlled by his father, the same as who is a progressive as well.
Skull and Bones.
Okay, exactly. And his name, hold on. And his name in Skull and Bones was the Transition. And so you have to understand, all of this is a controlled burn. Even what the president is doing now is a controlled burn. The people that are running the world are making them do what they want. And they are accelerating their what's going on. That's why you see Obama doing
now,
so many executive orders and destroying the Constitution. Go ahead.
Hold on, Brown.
Yes, I'm going to let you go and let the gentleman, our local gentleman, do it.
It's amazing that you're this aware and that you can just say what you said and you still like to play the petty political game because you understand you have a better... All right, that's all I'm saying.
I got you, but I'd rather have freedom in doing it because, see, the left side progressives want a United Nations-led one-world government. The right side progressives want a United States-led one-world government. And so, therefore, the only thing that I'm saying is really the lesser of two evils is what I'm looking at here. And at least my side doesn't stand for some of the things morally that the other side stands for. So, therefore, if I'm going to choose, I'm going to choose a right side guy. But in this last election, I saw no difference between Romney, who also practices witchcraft, I believe in the, that is the faith that he practices, and Obama, who I think is
a Muslim who was born in Kenya.
Well, not only that, but I don't think he believes in any god or respects one. Not at all. And it's definitely not the God of the Bible because you do not kill children and make laws to enforce killing children around the world. You're doubling down on it. You're not just allowing it to go on. You're doubling down on it and then calling yourself a Christian? Man, get out of my face.
Oh, well, if he were to be the first hypocritical Christian... But
you got a caller.
I wanted to add something about George Bush Senior when I get a chance. But
sure, go ahead. Okay, Alabama.
Yeah, this is Alabama. I been listening. It was talking about my little country accent. But that's all right though. But I feel like the whole situation with the economy and how it came to a head under Bush.
Go ahead.
Must have dropped them.
We dropped Alabama.
I was just making a simple statement that, I mean, under Bush, the taxpayers got the checks. Okay? Under Obama, big business got the checks when it came to the bailout.
So by you saying that you're implying that. That the Bush administration is not really pro big business.
No, I'm not implying that.
Hold on, what you're saying? Let me see.
If it sounds that way, then it's not.
What I'm hearing you say is that the Bush administration, that Bush cared about the people because he sent everybody a $250 check to pay taxes, whereas the Obama administration, Obama doesn't care about the people. So you've turned Bush into some populist. Who wants to share? Never mind. I don't even want to do this.
I understand where you're coming from. All I am doing is stating a fact.
Okay.
I never said Bush isn't in favor of big business. He most definitely
is.
He was big business.
What you're implying is that Bush gave to the people. Where Obama gave to the big corporations.
I'm not implying. I'm saying it happened.
Let me tell you this.
That's one thing.
It's a stated fact.
Let me share something with you.
It's kind of on another note. That kind of surprised something that's like some unknown facts about the Bush family. When Planned Parenthood was started, Prescott Bush, whose grandfather to George W. Prescott Bush was the original treasurer and helped raise money for Margaret Sanger and for Planned Parenthood because they were eugenicists and
absolutely.
They were concerned with population control. And so now W reinvented himself as a born-again Christian who's against abortion. Let me share something else with you. when George Bush Sr., and please refute it if you can. Take some time to research it.
No, you're correct so far. Go ahead.
No, all right. When George Bush, if Jeff said I'm correct, it must be correct. When George Bush Sr. was a congressman from Texas, he constantly gave speeches about birth control and the need for birth control to be spread out. In fact, he did it so much, you know what his nickname was in Congress? They called him Rubbers. Seriously.
I didn't know that, but that's a good one.
They called him Rubbers, you know? They're like, uh-oh. You know, he was a mm-hmm. new guy, and I guess you take a little ribbing. They called him Rubbers. Like, oh, God, here goes Rubbers giving a speech again about contraceptives and everything. What's this guy hung up about contraceptives? So, just thought I'd share that.
Yeah. Kind of that's a good one. I like that.
This is true, too.
Local caller, you were going to say something else, too. Come on in.
Yes. Learn how Obama is aiding and abetting the enemy. Go to Shobhat.com, Shobhat.com, and you'll learn how his brothers, his cousins, all in the...
Is that Waleed Shabbat's website?
Shobhat, Shobhat.com.
This is a brother in Kenya that he met one time.
Okay, I'll get off here and listen.
Okay, thank you, sir. No, his brother, he's got a brother that pulled a coup on an election there. He lost the election as president, but he had a lot of popular support from the radicals, and so they forced the
Kenya.
Kenya, and they forced the hand of government to share the leadership. And so you have this Christian guy
as a prime minister. He's a prime minister now.
Right.
Doesn't Obama have like 15 or 16 half brothers in Kenya, something like that?
I don't know how many he has, but I know he has one in particular. That's in control. One of them is this. Sorry about that, gentlemen. We have to go to break. Got to go to the news. We'll be right back. We'll discuss this on the other side.
Allegations of sexual harassment against the mayor's.
Hey, you there?
Beasley's here.
Yeah, what I was trying to say was that it's like everybody going back and forth about the little innuendos, and yet what really matters, they both in agreement on. Like, that's why that's what kind of pushed me towards Ron Paul after this last election, which was a terrible time to do it. But just the way that I see them both kicking the same, they give us this ball to kick back and forth and swing it. Meanwhile, when it comes to stuff like quantitative easing, when it comes to stuff that really has a real direct effect on everything from in our lives, we don't see what that really. These banks, man, are the real problem. If we fix the banks, then we can start working on other stuff. But we can't worry.
The banks are too deeply ingrained, and their tentacles reach everywhere. They control. These same banks control the media. They control the institutions of higher education. They control everything.
But the thing I'm saying, like, for example, like if we go back and forth with Diva over something, when it's all said and done, the government and the corporations are the same entity because it's like they all the
I
same.
I agree
so like,
you 100%.
I'm not disagreeing. We're not even disagreeing. I'm just making a point.
They bring
this stuff out. We sit and argue. The government should have it. No, private industry. We go back and forth when the big oligarchs that run these corporations, because those are the ones that run the government, they'll come in, infiltrate the government, and enforce policy, and then they'll have some loophole where it doesn't apply to them. So guys like me and you trying to do business have to go all the way around 100 miles around as if we got to go all the way around South America. They can go straight through the Panama Canal, so to speak, in business.
And it's
cheating.
It seems like once people understand and accept this, as you do, as Jeff does, it seems like discussing these little political differences, you know, this left-right contrived paradigm, that just seems like a waste. That's why I said I can't even do this with you. You know, I couldn't even do this and go back and forth.
But even still, left, right, and none in between, it all boils down to no matter which side you stand on, no matter which side you believe in, it all comes down to how we see the role of government. This is what it basically all boils down to. Nobody really wants to admit to that.
I think what some of us
nobody who's taking a stand wants to admit, look, this is how I see the role of government. This is how I think the role of government should be. This is, but we all want to attack
go
the
ahead,
other
Alex.
Side. And
go ahead, Alex.
Instead of, look, I completely understand where you're coming from.
Go ahead, Alex.
You already know I was coming in there?
Yeah, I can tell about it when you hit your mute button.
Oh, yeah. No, does it make that much noise when I take my mute off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wow. Okay. Is my background, is there a lot of background noise over there?
No, you got one of those smartphones. It's like mine. If the wind blow or anything, man, somebody's making noise. So it's just like that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, Diva, yeah, you're right. I mean, it comes down to the role of government. But, I mean, like I said yesterday, it doesn't matter left or right. What the real paradigm is authoritarianism or libertarianism. That's really the real confrontation. Because most Democrats and Republicans actually do the same thing. When they get in office, they do the same thing. Both of them want to grow the government. They just argue about how to grow the government. Because
I agree with Diva. I agree with Diva, and I think that if the citizens think a certain way, that
and that's not who he was meant to be. The president is the president, one branch of the government. The Senate and the House, which is our Congress, is another branch of the government. And then, once again, look at the judicial, Supreme Court, is our other equal branch of government. It is not whatever he says goes, especially when it goes against what we have a document that's called the Constitution. Now, he said he was going to do this, so I'm not going to blame him for what he's doing because this is what he said he was going to do. But for all of you who don't think before you vote, for all of you who don't read before you vote, for all of you who think that when the government gives you something, it's going to be a good thing, but you don't have any track record to support that, then I say to you, I think that you need to really reexamine yourself before you step into a booth this November, and then even next year, because it's going to be much more critical next year. Because if the House isn't blocked from the progressives that are trying to come in, and they take over the House, you will have nonstop crazy legislations coming out that you will never, ever be able to recover from. That's my two cents. Brown Beasley, Diva, Alex, Alabama, you're all live and in charge here. We can talk to either one of you. Go ahead. Don't everybody speak at one time. What you think about what I just said?
I think you're spot on, but I think the Republican Party,
they got problems.
They
got
to get rid of the progressives within that party.
Well, of course, in the hierarchy, because that's who's making decisions
exactly.
To put up these milquetoast Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to vote for somebody with no spine.
Did you say milquetoast?
Milquetoast.
Okay. What's milquetoast?
Milquetoast is very weak because you can't put anything on a piece of wet toast. You know that.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that's what you
very
called
soft, very, you know.
See, I learned something today.
Well, milk toast, and what was it yesterday I told you?
Oh, yeah.
There was another statement.
Yeah, I never heard it before. Or I actually wanted to explain. You did a good job. I just forget right now.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is what we're dealing with on this basis that America has to change as they know it. He said he wanted to fundamentally means basically wants to change America.
He told you he wanted to redistribute the wealth.
And he has.
Just
he's
like,
taking it right out of the middle class.
Yeah, just like the Communist Party did in Russia.
I'm not going to defend the president, but that is in conflict with what you said earlier. If
with
anything.
What?
Well, I think what he said basically, you know, one of his points was that Bush, you know, sent out a few hundred dollars to tax-paying citizens, whereas Obama has not and has made moves that only have benefited the corporations. If anything, Bush taking money from the Treasury and spreading it among the citizens
Let me just finish the thought.
Okay. You see where I'm going. That's why you wanted to
yes.
interject.
Yes,
all right, but I'll stop. But I was just going to say, yeah. If anything, Bush doing that's more of an act of redistributing the wealth from the Treasury. That's
okay.
Exactly
yes,
what
I'm
that
not,
is.
That's where the money comes from.
That kind of fits into what you're saying Obama does.
The fundamental difference is that the Bush checks went to taxpayers, people who put the money in, okay? Whereas the Obama redistribution of wealth is going to the non-taxpayers from the taxpayers.
There were many people that were once taxpayers that have been eliminated from
yes.
the job force because for a variety of reasons. If you looked at the amount of jobs that were lost towards the end of the Bush administration and the beginning of the Obama administration, there were millions and millions and millions of jobs lost. And if you're aware of, there's many people that are skilled, that have worked jobs, that are in their late 40s and early 50s, that cannot find work, no matter how qualified they are and how many degrees they have, just because corporate America just isn't looking to hire these people. They would rather hire, you know, a pimply-faced 22-year-old kid. And many of you out there on the line can attest to that.
Why do you think I'm here, Brown?
That's the truth. So the state that taxpayers received these checks. There are many people now, okay,
right.
that were once taxpayers and were taxpayers for long periods of time that can't find work. And it's not
but
that they can't find
there's
work
a huge reason for that.
They can't find work.
There's a real difference between people who can't find work and people who don't want to find work.
And Diva, you come on in and 330-205, you'll be next.
The one thing about that tax rebate that Bush gave out to everybody, it wasn't people who pay taxes, with everyone who filed the income tax claim. So when you say taxpayers, you have to be careful because a lot of those people who got those rebate checks pay payroll taxes, but they don't pay income tax.
It doesn't matter. They still pay tax to the federal government.
What Brown was saying was it is a redistribution of wealth. So when you talk about taxpayers, you're implying...
Whoa. It was a redistribution. Go ahead, Diva. I'm going to let you finish so I can tell you what the truth is.
It's the same thing as those people who are not paying an income tax who are working but yet qualify for food stamps. It's those same people who are the 47% that Mitt Romney was talking about. It's those same people who once worked, didn't work, and now are having to collect unemployment that you guys are talking about, the redistribution of wealth. Because when you talk about taxpayers getting free public assistance, living off the government dole, that's a very, very small number. The majority
We're not
of people
talking about that. Where did you bring this up at? That we didn't mention that at all.
Well,
and the
what,
point
what,
is,
well,
it does.
What
wait
is,
a minute. I'm not done. And then I want 205, I want you to come in. It doesn't matter. He gave it back to the people. He didn't give it to businesses that are multinational. You understand? He also put on steroids the President Clinton's faith-based initiative. He created that so money would get directly down to the neighborhoods that needed it because he knew what was going to happen as a result of what his father's agenda had to be. And he said, we're going to either have a soft landing or a hard landing. And he said, I'm going to try to make it so that we have a soft landing. Nobody remembers that he said that, but I remember what he said. I watched him. My sister had a very, very close parishioner of hers in the White House, in the West Wing. So my point is that there's some things that I'm judging and seeing that he rebelled against his father. And he did not want to do the things. And from what I understand, he resigned Skull and Bones because of his belief in Jesus Christ. Now, that whether it's true or not, there is, but the thing is,
that's a secret.
Brown, hold on.
There's no evidence of that, though, Jeff.
But Brown, let me say this to you. Tracy and I will send you something on that. That's all I can say. And so we'll go from there on that. But it may be true, it may not be true. Let's put it that way, because I wasn't there totally myself. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But that's the report that we had.
I still think he was an idiot.
Well, he wasn't an idiot whatsoever. And if you can fly a freaking jet plane, you're not an idiot. You may not be the best manager in the world, but the thing is, you know, you're not an idiot. But it wasn't his agenda that you're seeing. Just like this. Now, this is not necessarily President Obama's agenda that we're seeing. It's the people that are moving his strings. And they're not family. They're people that have used him because they said he was a blank piece of paper. We can make him to be whatever we want him to be. And that's what you have in the White House.
I'm sitting back here thinking, and I'm wondering which is more potent and intoxicating. Is it the Obama Kool-Aid or the Bush Kool-Aid? I think the Bush Kool-Aid is highly powerful, that it still has these effects after the results are in 5-6 years later.
Well,
all these politicians, every last one of these politicians does not have your best interests of heart.
I agree with you.
None of them are sincere people. None of them are people of principle. These are people that play positions. These are people that talk out of both sides of the mouth. Every single last one.
Rand Paul. I like Rand Paul.
No, well, you know something? I wonder how Ron Paul will be if he were to get to a high elected office.
Well, we'll see.
Go ahead.
Well, I need to bring 205 in.
Yeah, we already know how many jobs this guy has killed with his energy policies. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that President Obama has done. He's taken entire sections of West Virginia and just destroyed them.
West Virginia was already destroyed.
No, it wasn't.
Mr. Beasley, you have no idea. My daughter was working in Logan County, West Virginia. The unemployment rate was 4% when this man took office. And within 2 years, it was 20%. All because of his Environmental Protection Agency policies.
And he just unleashed a new round of EPA regulations on coal last week. So you can expect more of that industry to die because this man, I almost called him a name, this man believes that the earth is warming, although they haven't had one bit of warming since 1992.
That's foolishness that they say. And now we are putting new regulations in place so we can't even export coal to other countries unless they burn it the way we think they ought to be burning it.
Hmm.
Exactly.
The babies that we abort overseas?
You might as well. Go ahead, Diva. I mean, what about Steve? Go ahead.
Yeah, Jeff. Y'all keep on supporting George Bush, and I'm here to offend my girl Diva, because I
get to it.
That she's not getting the respect that she should get.
From who?
From you, Jeff.
Please. Okay.
I love you like a brother, and I'm not kidding you to badmouth you, man.
Hey, we was raised in the same neighborhood, so you better love me like a brother.
Well, look, Jeff, I myself personally, I'm tired of people constantly saying that the Obama administration is bringing up the deficit and all this other stuff. And really, didn't George Bush lie to the American people about going into...
No, he did not.
To Iraq?
No, he did not. He didn't lie at all. He knew what
they
had because we gave it to him.
George Bush never lies.
And,
George Bush did not chop down that cherry tree.
Going into those two wars, that's what brought up our economy. In other words, brought up our deficit. The because when Clinton left, we had a surplus.
You had a budget surplus. You did not have a money surplus.
And when we went into Iraq as well as Afghanistan,
you've been listening to Afternoons with Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A White House news conference is about to get underway. As the federal government shutdown moves into its second week, both sides still blaming the other. Maryland Democratic Senator Ben Cardin.
House Republicans are not merely leveraging their political position, some dryly claim. They are threatening to do grievous harm to the global economy and the American public.
White House Majority, or rather, well, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor says Democrats are.
Are we in the back room?
He turned the mic off.
So the guy comes in to defend you, and he starts making a calm, rational argument.
They always do that.
That's so wicked. That's so.
They
wicked.
Always do that.
That's
they
so
hilarious.
That's so wicked. That's so wicked. He's like, okay, I know where this guy's going. I don't know why they put up with me.
Hey, Diva, have you ever met Steve before? Because he's in love with you.
No, I've never met Steve before, but I've been calling into the show for about 3 years now. But I don't know.
Steve was the guy that was just on the line that they started playing the music and everything and just stopped.
Yeah, that's
from.
Why they're playing the music, because he always calling in for Diva.
Oh, right. He was defending Diva and not, you know, trying to set the record straight. Well, that's nice. Nice to have admirers.
Well, it's nice to have someone that will defend your honor. I feel the same way. I'm always constantly disrespected on this show. But, hey.
But, you know, there's no victims in life. There's only volunteers. You choose to dial in. You must have tough skin.
But sometimes when you can get personal, like I can disagree with someone all day, but
they start making personal digs.
It's.
I don't know why I'm spending time on here now, because this is like the lowest common denominator of Fox News listeners. Really, this is like the real bottom of the barrel. The guy, I mean, when it comes, it's the real bottom of the barrel.
My thing was when Ben made the comment about President Bush, he only gave the money, he gave the rebate to the taxpayers. What threw me off was when they talk about taxpayers, they're talking about people who, when they normally talk about taxpayers, they're normally talking about people who pay income tax. They don't include people who pay payroll taxes. They don't include the people who gets a refund. So when you say you don't want redistribution of wealth, but you can be for the George Bush rebate.
He stuck his foot in his mouth in the next paragraph. And then when I started to address it, he had to, you know, interrupt me to qualify it. To use that and to make Bush some type of populist that cares about the people. And, you know, what's really amazing is that the way they just ignore the whole collapse that happened at the end of the Bush administration.
Well, what they fail to admit is when they talk about constitutional rights, I mean, Bush was the one who gave us the Patriot Act. I mean, the first NDAA, the NSA program.
Well, the NSA has existed, but I'm sure it intensified after 9/11.
Yeah.
and it's been intensified since then. If anything, they should really like Obama, because they should really like Obama because he continued the George Bush policies, and you know, and that's why people, you know, all presidents get ridiculed and catch hell, all of them, since the beginning. They've made cartoons and characters of them. But the elephant in the room is these people just won't admit that I'm uncomfortable about this guy because he has brown skin.
Well, Brian, I wouldn't say that. I think it's just because he's a Democrat. Because I've said that on the show too.
They went after Clinton. They went after Clinton. And I asked my dad, I said, well, why are they going after him so hard like this? He said, because he won.
Well, you know, I think it's just politics, because I argue with them all the time that Republicans are the same as Democrats. And Obama, everything that Obama has done is the same thing the Republicans do. Even his health care plan used to be a Republican plan.
Yeah.
And it started out but with a Republican senator, and then Mitt Romney implemented it in Massachusetts. And Obama just took it and implemented it, and now they're up in arms. Oh my God! But when they asked Mitt Romney if he would if it was good for the country, he said yeah. And at the time they were backing him for president.
When
they first asked him, he said yes, it would be good for the country, and then afterwards he backed away from it after he saw the backlash from it. He initially said yes because he thought he was going to be able to take the wind out of Obama's sails by saying, yeah, but it's really my idea, so that's why you need to really elect me as president.
Seems to be a little bit deeper, because when you can sit up there and talk about President Obama being a Kenyan-born Muslim, when we know for a fact he has a birth control, I mean, not birth control, birth certificate here in the United States, but yet Ted Cruz was born in Canada.
Ted Cruz runs for 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush. Avoid the rush and listen to
us. I was rolling in my car when I pulled up at the mall. Couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet.
Broke out the
Charlie Wilson. I was only trying to hang, wasn't looking for a thing. I was just about to bounce. And then I saw Miss Lady. Then I said to myself,
Steve, ain't that the song you wanted me to play?
Well, I thought the president was supposed to be on at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, you know. Now, wait a minute. Now, he's still a black man now. He's on CP time.
Oh.
Okay.
I'll give him that.
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Although I think I have a copy of his.
We're never on time. You know that.
I think I got a copy of his speech already.
It's not in our culture. Diva, that was straight from Steve here on the request line.
Send
okay,
out.
Who was talking? Okay, Steve, go ahead, because I got another local trying to get into.
Oh, okay. What I also have to say, Jeff, is that myself, personally, I do believe that Obama is, you know, pretty much has been, how you want to put it, he has been,
uh-huh.
It slipped my mind, but
spit it out, Steve. Spit it out.
He could be a puppet, so to speak.
Oh, okay.
That he has those who have the money put him in power, and that he has been chosen to be, as you often say, to bring about that so-called New World Order.
Yep.
I also believe that George Bush was a puppet also. The only president that I could say that never was a puppet, and there were, I could say there were two, Eisenhower and President Kennedy.
No. Eisenhower, yes. Kennedy, no. He was absolutely a puppet. He's a puppet of his father, you have to understand.
How was Eisenhower a puppet when he spoke?
I didn't say Eisenhower. I said Kennedy was
a
puppet.
Words, Kennedy was
Jeff,
a puppet.
He's just stating his opinion, though. He's just giving
his
opinion.
How was Kennedy a puppet when he actually already had money? He didn't need corporations to get him to become president.
Whose money did he have?
Well, he had his own father's money.
He had his father's money. Now, who was his father?
His father's name was Joe Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. And who did he support during World War II?
Hitler.
Himself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
himself.
So now that would result in being the...
But then we go back
Joe Kennedy.
Father,
Joe Kennedy, his father. Joe Kennedy was a progressive.
Absolutely.
A eugenist as well.
Absolutely, again.
Okay. So the part of the same movement as Obama.
You know something? He was probably friends.
A lot of times
hold on, Brown. I'm going to get you in a second because we can't hear you.
I never understood what that really means. Matter of fact, I'm going to get off the
All right, we'll come back. We'll come back to you in a minute, and I'll tell you what a progressive is. Local caller, you're in there.
Okay. I'm an equal opportunist. I hate all of the living ex-presidents because I know what they did. Clinton, who claimed to be the first black president, signed free trade and shipped all of our jobs overseas.
Oh,
the technology and stuff.
You can't tell these people that, man. They will jump on you and skewer you like a...
It's absolutely the truth, though.
Man, we all know NAFTA was ridiculous.
Anyway, but all of them contributed to this demise of this country.
I agree.
From first Bush, who came in and said New World Order, gave us a German Air Force base down in New Mexico, and then the Clintons that shipped our jobs overseas, they're all trash, all the way up to this thing that we've got in the White House now.
Oh.
And that's what I've got to say. So have a good day.
Thank you. South Carolina, you're in the air before the president comes on to speak.
Did he just say that thing in the White House? So if President Obama's thing one, if President Obama's thing one, then Joe Biden must be thing two.
Wait a minute, I'm tripping now. Listen, this is the most ridiculous. Because now Brown, you weren't on. I don't know if you were able to hear the show, but Brown Beasley, I'm going to start calling him Sir Beasley.
Sir Beasley.
You know I give good nicknames. I'm pretty good at that.
You can give me a nickname.
No, you named yourself, and I'll let you keep that name.
What?
Because
You have to earn your nickname around here.
Yes, you have to earn your nickname, and you did not earn it because you're a Pittsburgh fan.
Wait, I thought I was a white devil.
You are a white devil. That's what Kavita Man calls you.
You just happen to wear many hats.
Kavita Man say.
You happen to wear many hats.
But no, listen, Sir Beasley and Diva and all, Clinton. People think he was just the greatest president because the economy was doing good up under him. He did have something to do with that, and I cannot take that away from him.
He balanced the budget.
He did not balance the budget. John Kasich and Newt Gingrich balanced the budget.
It's relatively easy to balance the budget when you have something as dynamic as the internet that exploded during his second term, literally exploded.
Right. Absolutely.
Not only do you have the internet and new commerce and new ideas and a whole new way of doing things, but it also sparked a lot of building as far as building out of the high-speed networks that now probably all of us are connected to the internet to a high-speed network. So
you're absolutely correct.
That growth and that took place, that's one of the main reasons, and he just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Okay, but he did one other thing, and then 518, I'm going to bring you up. he also did the debt. He financed the debt on short-term T-notes instead of long-term ones. And he got a really good interest rate at that time because of how things were running. And he made out. That's why he had a budget surplus. It wasn't he didn't have a debt. He had debt.
Uh-huh.
Because don't forget, when Clinton left office, there was still $5 trillion in national debt. Okay? But we were able to pay the bills on those debt while he was in there. 9/11 and the subsequent wars wiped that out up under George Bush.
So
there's no doubt about that.
The wars along with the tax cuts.
I disagree with that, because every time you cut taxes, more money pours into the Treasury. And
I'm sorry.
Every time you cut taxes, more money pours into the Treasury.
And the evidence of that is
from Kennedy to any time it's ever been done, that you had an enigma with 9/11, because 9/11, when they attacked America like they did, you had a huge drop in our economy. For him to have even survived it for 5 years after it happened.
It froze the economy. I was trying to do business. It was hard to get anybody to do anything.
You're absolutely correct.
To say yes to anything. People were in a bunker mentality.
Yes, they were.
Yes, they were.
I lived through it.
Yeah.
My business suffered greatly.
Mine too.
It was hard to get people to make a decision to do anything, to spend any money.
I deal with churches primarily, and I'm just telling you that nobody had any money to spend at that time.
Money. They weren't spending it.
Everybody had money, but they were afraid to spend. The only thing that was selling at my gallery was the Osama bin Laden targets for shooting.
Right.
You had some of those.
No.
Yeah.
That was a real tough period.
330-518, you're in there. 330-518, you're in the air. You got a lot of noise in the background.
Hey, Jeff, that's me. I'm just listening, man. I'm just listening. I'll cue in when I got something to say.
Okay, well, hit the one again, because I'm going to put you on hold, because you got a lot of noise in the background. Okay. Matt, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff.
Wait a minute. Matt, we got to interrupt you. The greatest president of all is speaking, and we have to go to it. President Obama on the drop down of the economy. You're coming up now.
Actually,
it's not like this is a new position that I'm taking here. I had Speaker Boehner and the other leaders in just last week. Either my chief of staff or I have had serious conversations on the budget with Republicans more than 20 times since March. So we've been talking all kinds of business. What we haven't been able to get are serious positions from the Republicans that would allow us to actually resolve some core differences. And they have decided to run out the clock until there's a government shutdown for the possibility of default, thinking that it would give them more leverage. That's not my characterization. They've said it themselves. That was their strategy from the start. And that is not how our government is supposed to run. It's not just me, by the way, who has taken the position that we're willing to have conversations about anything. Senate Democrats have asked to sit down with House Republicans and hash out a budget, but have been rejected by the House Republicans 19 times. At the beginning of this year, Speaker Boehner said, what we want is regular order and a serious budget process. So Senate should pass a bill and House should pass a bill, and then a committee comes together and they hash out their differences and they send the bill to the president. Well, that's exactly what Democrats did. Except somewhere along the way, House Republicans decided they wouldn't appoint people to the committee to try to negotiate. And 19 times they've rejected that. So even after all that, the Democrats in the Senate still passed a budget that effectively reflects Republican priorities at Republican budget levels, just to keep the government open. And the House Republicans couldn't do that either. The point is, I think not only the White House, but also Democrats in the Senate and Democrats in the House have shown more than ample willingness to talk about any issues that the Republicans are concerned about. But we can't do it if the entire basis of the Republican strategy is we're going to shut down the government or cause economic chaos if we don't get 100% of what we want. So my suggestion to the Speaker has been and will continue to be, let's stop the excuses. Let's take a vote in the House. Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work. There are enough reasonable Republicans and Democrats in the House who are willing to vote yes on a budget that the Senate has already passed. That vote could take place today. Shutdown would be over. Then serious negotiations could proceed around every item in the budget. Now, as soon as Congress votes to reopen the government, it's also got to vote to meet our country's commitments, pay our bills, raise the debt ceiling, because as reckless as a government shutdown is, the economic shutdown caused by America defaulting would be dramatically worse. And I want to talk about this for a minute because even though people can see and feel the effects of a government shutdown, they're already experiencing it right now, there are still some people out there who don't believe that default is a real thing. And we've been hearing that from some Republicans in Congress, that default would not be a big deal. So let me explain this. If Congress refuses to raise what's called the debt ceiling, America would not be able to meet all of our financial obligations for the first time in 225 years. And because it's called raising the debt ceiling, I think a lot of Americans think it's raising our debt. It is not raising our debt. This does not add a dime to our debt. It simply says you pay for what Congress has already authorized America to purchase, whether that's the greatest military in the world or veterans benefits or Social Security, whatever it is that Congress has already authorized, what this does is make sure that we can pay those bills. Now, the last time that the Tea Party Republicans flirted with the idea of default, 2 years ago, markets plunged, business and consumer confidence.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions,
to actually permit default, according to many CEOs and economists, would be, and I'm quoting here, insane, catastrophic, chaos. These are some of the more polite words. Warren Buffett likened default to a nuclear bomb, a weapon too horrible to use. It would disrupt markets. It would undermine the world's confidence in America as the bedrock of the global economy. And it might permanently increase our borrowing costs, which, of course, ironically, would mean that it would be more expensive for us to service what debt we do have, and it would add to our deficits and our debt, not decrease them. There's nothing fiscally responsible about that. Now, preventing this should be simple. As I said, raising the debt ceiling is a lousy name, which is why members of Congress in both parties don't like to vote on it, because it makes you vulnerable in political campaigns. But it does not increase our debt. It does not grow our deficits. It does not allow for a single dime of increased spending. All it does is allow the Treasury Department to pay for what Congress has already spent. But, as I said, it's always a tough vote. People don't like doing it, although it has been done 45 times since Ronald Reagan took office. Nobody in the past has ever seriously threatened to breach the debt ceiling until the last 2 years. And this is the creditworthiness of the United States that we're talking about. This is our word. This is our good name. This is real. In a government shutdown, millions of Americans face inconvenience or outright hardship. In an economic shutdown, every American could see their 401ks and home values fall, borrowing costs for mortgages and student loans rise, and there would be a significant risk of a very deep recession at a time when we're still climbing our way out of the worst recession in our lifetimes. You know, the American people have already fought too hard and too long to come back from one crisis, only to see a handful of more extreme Republicans in the House of Representatives precipitate another one. Now, the good news is over the past 3.5 years, our businesses have created 7.5 million new jobs. Our housing market's healing. We've cut the deficit in half since I took office. The deficit is coming down faster than any time in the last 50 years. America is poised to become the number one energy producer in the world this year. This year, for the first time in a very long time, we're producing more oil than we're importing. So we got a lot of good things going for us, but the uncertainty caused by just 1 week of this nonsense so far has caused businesses to reconsider spending and hiring. You've seen consumer confidence plunge to the lowest level since 2008. You've seen mortgages held up by thousands of homebuyers who aren't sure about the economic situation out there. And all this adds to our deficits. It doesn't subtract from it. So we can't afford these manufactured crises every few months. And as I said, this one isn't even about deficits or spending or budgets. Our deficits are falling at the fastest pace in 60 years. The budget that the Senate passed is at Republican spending levels. It's their budget that Democrats were willing to put votes on just to make sure the government was open while negotiations took place for a longer-term budget. And what's happened, the way we got to this point was one thing and one thing only, and that was Republican obsession with dismantling the Affordable Care Act and denying health care to millions of people. That law, ironically, is moving forward. So most Americans, Democrats and Republicans, agree that health care should not have anything to do with keeping our government open or paying our bills on time, which is why I will sit down and work with anyone of any party, not only to talk about the budget, I'll talk about ways to improve the health care system. I'll talk about ways that we can shrink our long-term deficits. I'll also want to talk about how we're going to help the middle class and strengthen early childhood education and improve our infrastructure and research and development. There are a whole bunch of things I want to talk about in terms of how we're going to make sure that everybody's getting a fair shake in this society and that our economy is growing in a broad-based way and building our middle class. And by the way, if anybody doubts my sincerity about that, I've put forward proposals in my budget to reform entitlement programs for the long haul and reform our tax code in a way that would close loopholes for the wealthiest and lower rates for corporations and help us invest in new jobs and reduce our deficits. And some of these were originally Republican proposals because I don't believe any party has a monopoly on good ideas. So I've shown myself willing to go more than halfway in these conversations. And if reasonable Republicans want to talk about these things again, I'm ready to head up to the Hill and try. I'll even spring for dinner again. But I'm not going to do it until the more extreme parts of the Republican Party stop forcing John Boehner to issue threats about our economy. We can't make extortion routine as part of our democracy. Democracy doesn't function this way. And this is not just for me. It's also for my successors in office, whatever party they're from. They shouldn't have to pay a ransom either for Congress doing its basic job. We've got to put a stop to it. Last point I'll make. Already this week, I had to miss critical meetings in Asia to promote American jobs and businesses. And although, as long as we get this fixed, that's not long-term damage, whenever we do these things, it hurts our credibility around the world. It makes it look like we don't have our act together. And that's not something we should welcome. The greatest nation on earth shouldn't have to get permission from a few irresponsible members of Congress every couple of months just to keep our government open or to prevent an economic catastrophe. So let's pass a budget. Let's end this government shutdown. Let's pay our bills. Let's avert an economic shutdown. Let's drop the gimmicks, put aside what's good for any particular party, and let's focus on what's good for the American people, because they know we've got a lot of work to do. All right? So with that, let me take a couple of questions, and I will start with Julie Pace of AP.
Thank you, Mr. President. Obviously, if Congress does pass a clean CR and a clean debt ceiling bill, those may just be short-term measures. If that happens, does your offer to negotiate with them on issues like health care and spending and deficit reduction still stand in the intervening week that they pass measures that are just perhaps 6 weeks or 2 months long?
Absolutely. I mean, what I've said is that I will talk about anything. What will happen is we won't agree on everything. I mean, the truth is that the parties are pretty divided on a whole big bunch of big issues right now. Everybody understands that. And by the way, voters are divided on a lot of those issues too. And I recognize that there are some House members, Republican House members, where I got clobbered in the last election. And you know, they don't get politically rewarded a lot for being seen as negotiating with me. And that makes it harder for divided government to come together. But I am willing to work through all those issues. The only thing that our democracy can't afford is a situation where one side says, unless I get my way and only my way, unless I get concessions before we even start having a serious give and take, I'll threaten to shut down the government, or I will threaten to not pay America's bills. So, you know, I will not eliminate any topic of conversation. And I've shown myself willing to engage all the parties involved, every leader, on any issue.
And that applies no matter how long the time frame is on the bills that they would pass?
The only thing that I will say is that we're not going to pay a ransom for America paying its bills. That's something that should be non-negotiable, and everybody should agree on that. Everybody should say one of the most valuable things we have is America's creditworthiness. This is not something we should even come close to fooling around with. And so when I read people saying, oh, this wouldn't be a big deal, we should test it out. But let's take default out for a spin and see how it rides. And I say, imagine in your private life if you decided that I'm not going to pay my mortgage for a month or two. First of all, you're not saving money by not paying your mortgage. You're just a deadbeat. And you can anticipate that will hurt your credit, which means that in addition to debt collectors calling, you're going to have trouble borrowing in the future. And if you are able to borrow in the future, you're going to have to borrow at a higher rate. But what's true for individuals is also true for nations, even the most powerful nation on earth. And if we are creating an atmosphere in which people are not sure whether or not we pay our bills on time, then that will have a severe long-term impact on our economy and on America's standard of living. And that's not something that we should even be in a conversation about. That is not something that we should be using as leverage. Okay. Juliana, go over.
Thank you, Mr. President. You laid out the economic consequences of default, but if we were to get to that point, would you prioritize and pay bondholders first to maintain a semblance of credit, or rather than Social Security recipients or military servicemen and women? And how would you go ahead and make that determination?
I'm going to continue to be very hopeful that Congress does not put us in that position. And I think if people understand what the consequences are, they will set that potential scenario aside. I do know that there have been some who said that if we just pay bondholders, if we just pay people who bought Treasury bills, that we really won't be in default because those interest payments will be made. And to them, what I have to remind them is we've got a lot of other obligations, not just people who pay Treasury bills. We got senior citizens who are counting on their Social Security check arriving on time. We have veterans who are disabled who are counting on their benefits. We have companies who are doing business for our government and for our military that have payrolls that they have to meet. And if they do not get paid on time, they may have to lay off workers. All those folks are potentially affected if we are not able to pay all of our bills on time. What's also true is if the markets are saying that we're not paying all our bills on time, that will affect our creditworthiness even if some people are being paid on time. So, again, just to boil this down to personal examples, if you've got a mortgage, a car note, and a student loan that you have to pay, and you say, well, I'm going to make sure I pay my mortgage, but I'm not going to pay my student loan or my car note, that's still going to have an impact on your credit. Everybody's still going to look at that and say, you know what, I'm not sure this person's that trustworthy. And at minimum, presumably they're going to charge a higher interest rate. That's what would happen to you if you made those decisions. Well, the same is true for the federal government. So we are exploring all contingencies. I know that Secretary Liu, the Secretary of the Treasury, will be appearing before Congress on Thursday, and he can address some of the additional details about this. But let me be clear, no option is good in that scenario. There's no silver bullet. There's no magic wand that allows us to wish away the chaos that could result if, for the first time in our history, we don't pay our bills on time. And when I hear people trying to downplay the consequences of that, I think that's really irresponsible. And I'm happy to talk to any of them individually and walk them through exactly why it's irresponsible. And it's particularly funny coming from Republicans who claim to be champions of business. There's no business person out here who thinks this wouldn't be a big deal. Not one. You go to anywhere from Wall Street to Main Street.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again. I can't take the press conference with the stack questions.
With the one who speaks with forked tongue.
Well.
Down in where the Redskins play.
Now, all you supporters out there.
He lied.
Give me a call.
On three different occasions.
1-347-945-5229.
It doesn't increase the deficit.
Or 330-781-9600. If you have a bill of $16 trillion and you don't make the payment on it, it increases, okay? It doesn't stay there. You don't get to say, no, we waived that interest for that month because we didn't make that payment. No, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry.
He's got a forked tongue.
Oh, my. This is bad. All right, callers, you're still there. You know, I got
I got a couple of observations.
Go ahead, Sir Beasley, and then Diva, Alex, South Carolina, and Matt. You're also in the air chair there.
I'm listening to them, and I a couple of things that caught my attention, and they probably weren't. They weren't really germane to what he's getting at, but he said something about he has to be over there to protect American jobs in Asia. jobs in Asia, so-called American jobs being in Asia, is at the root of the economic problems this country has, and that's one issue. Then he said something about people's private lives. We have no private life. He has helped to ensure through the NSA and the PRISM program that we all know we have no private life. There is no private life. And then I just also noticed that he's talking. He has a smirk on his face. He looks like
he
wants to bust out laughing.
He does because he knows he's lying, Sir Beasley. But I will say this. I have to defend him. I got to defend him. I've got a friend from here in town that he's an acquaintance. I won't say he's a friend. That owns 49% of five different manufacturing factories in China. And there are Americans that were working in those factories. More Chinese are, but there are Americans working in those factories in China.
So his job is to go protect those jobs.
So he's got to go protect those 20 people that are working there.
Let me piggyback on that, too. Maybe it's my imagination, but wasn't there during the election, wasn't there a huge to-do over a Chrysler Jeep going to China, and it was all Romney exporting jobs? Wasn't that a big deal before?
Not only that, they called them a lie. They said it was a lie.
Right, right. And here's the other thing I want to throw out. This was my observation. It just popped out to me. Is it my imagination? Because I know Mr. Beasley there caught it as well. Did he call people that couldn't pay their mortgage deadbeats?
He sure said that.
That's what I thought I heard. Yeah, and that's funny because wasn't that most of his voter base, the people that he was supposed to help out, and now they're deadbeats. Hey, good vote, guys. Very good. Nice job.
He didn't even have a program to help them move out of their foreclosed home.
Hey, guys. You should have heard Sevilla's earlier today. Oh, not earlier today, but on John Stewart, I think it was last night. And she basically said that health care wouldn't be, you know, no more than what people pay for their cable bill or for their, for their cell phone.
Who got a $700 cable bill?
They must have been downloading a lot of porn on that one, I'll tell you.
I'm getting ready to say.
Well, you know, at least the cable company, as much as I despise them, I have a bundle. But at least I actively use the internet, the telephone, and all these cable channels I have every day. I don't see myself going to the doctor every day.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, I'm gonna file
and,
for.
Well, and they're not forcing. And they're not forcing me to do it. I don't like them, but I reconcile it.
There's no law saying you have to have cable.
Right.
Well,
it might be in the future.
Why hasn't he, the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, the man that holds the purse strings, why hasn't he submitted a budget the whole time he's been in office?
Well,
silence.
I don't know.
He's too busy writing his books how to change the United States into a communist country.
They haven't had one objective.
That's really not how the legislative process is supposed to work. Legislation is supposed to come from Congress. Sometimes presidents take it upon themselves to push their agenda onto Congress, but generally budgets and law are supposed to, and policy is supposed to come out of the House and the Senate, not from the executive branch. The executive branch is just supposed to execute whatever the legislative branch sends to him.
You've been watching too much Conjunction. What's your function?
Conjunction, what's your function?
Hey, guys.
Go ahead.
Hey, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I hear an echo for some reason.
Yeah, somebody got a radio on behind them. Please turn it down.
But I wanted to say that, you know, I think although as much as I disagree with the president, what he said just now, he's absolutely correct. He is now what the government is doing is. Largely unconstitutional, and it's completely out of its bounds. But the fact of the matter is that it's not like the Republicans are standing on any kind of principle, because I wholly believe in the power of the purse that Congress has as a natural check and balance. But the Republicans are pretty much holding the government hostage over this particular issue, but they have no integrity on anything else, like when it comes to our Federal Reserve, when it comes to, you know, this rollout that's been of Common Core by the Department of Education that's been embraced by both conservatives, people on the right and the left. There's so many things that, you know, they just have no ground to stand on, and so then they want to hold the government hostage over this, and it's just, it is irresponsible. I mean, if since they've already, I mean, I honestly, I don't know what, you know, what basis they could really stand on to cause a shutdown. I think that government should be shut down, but it's we all know it's really not even shut down. I mean, all of the unconstitutional functions are still going on, even though the government is supposedly shut down.
Yeah. But what are Republicans doing that is unconstitutional?
Well, no, I'm saying that all the government functions of like the NSA prison program and their drone program and surveillance and just everything that's not chartered in the Constitution that the government does just about is still going on, even though the government shut down and Republicans vote for that,
right.
all the time.
You better believe the NSA is getting their money to operate.
Absolutely.
Alex, you said that the Republicans are responsible for that?
I'm saying that what's the principle
here?
Yes,
the Republicans are responsible. It's a small group of Republicans that helped, that pushed this and made this happen. Yes.
Tell me something. Go ahead, Alex. Finish up.
I'm just saying that they're not standing on any kind of principle. They're hypocrites because, yeah, they want to hold the government hostage on this particular issue. But what about the $85 billion that's being pumped in, that's being given to just the big banks every month? How are small banks supposed to be able to compete with the big banks when they're getting $85 billion every month? Congress it's written explicitly in the Constitution that Congress has the power to coin money. They have the responsibility over that, and they abdicate that responsibility. But then they want to hold the government hostage over this, you know. And we can be here all day naming all of the unconstitutional and just just irresponsible actions of Congress on both the left and the right. But for the Republicans to act like they have some, you know, moral high ground
right.
Is just laughable. It's They're laughable.
He's got a good point.
Well, I really don't know that because, the call, here it is, the president has misused his power by going into the bill and suspending certain parts of it by his word only. How does he get to do that and bypass Congress, whose responsibility is to do that and not the other way? The president does not have that. He does not have that authority, yet he's doing it. You guys don't see that, though, huh?
Through executive order.
No, we see that. We see that. And it's misusing his authority to benefit the business community.
It doesn't matter.
You guys like how the law is being implemented, how it was. We get that you don't like it. We get that. But what we're trying to say is this was not the fight to argue out your differences over the
Affordable Health
Care Act.
And I say go pound salt.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it is. I say go pound salt. Yes, it is. Because you want me to fund this thing, and I'm telling you I'm not going to fund this. Because not only did you give people you didn't do nothing. Because Congress has the purview to spend the money. Appropriate the funding for the money. That is their job. And once again, you gave all these people waivers, and they don't have to take part in this BS, but you're going to make everybody else in the country that doesn't have a lobby dollar to spend with you take part in it. That is the issue, and they are right in standing on it.
That's when you get into
conference,
you hammer that out. Vayner needs to appoint conferees. They get into conference and they hammer that out.
They rejected the conferees. Don't, Steven, stop.
They
rejected the conferees. Obama said,
I
don't care. We're not going with conferees.
Not the time. They should have been. He should have been appointed conferees. October 1st was not the time to now say, well, I'm going to appoint some conferees so we can talk about Obamacare. No, you talk about the budget. Obamacare is not the biggest thing in the budget.
Diva, it is the biggest thing in the budget.
No, it's not.
If I'm not mistaken,
got so many other things to be talking about.
Oh, it's way bigger.
If I'm not mistaken,
what many people seem to be ignoring is that this Affordable Care Act went through all, as flawed as it may be, it went through the proper procedures. It went through Congress.
Not all the way through. That's incorrect.
It was approved. Hey. You signed it into law.
Listen.
By an all-Democrat House and all... Wait a minute. By an all-Democrat House and an all-Democrat Senate.
It doesn't matter. We had the majority at that time.
It was still the legal majority. Okay?
Okay.
It was still the legal majority. That's the way our government works.
So now it has changed. And you have to fund it to make it operate.
Hey Jeff, at what point does being fiscally responsible take precedence? Number one, they came out with a bunch of bogus numbers and they lied about it. They lied to the American public. The CBO has proved them wrong that the cost of this thing is going to be exponentially more than what they said it was. And I think it's okay. I don't care if it was a Democrat that was doing it or a Republican. If they are trying to protect the integrity of the American financial system and the American government and the solvency of the American government, yeah, I say block it.
And not only that, let me pick. Now, somebody is causing me to have an echo.
Not me.
Turn your radio down, please. But anyway, listen. It doesn't matter what your What you're saying here on, and I agree with you, Sal, about when he should have had conferees. You have to get in there when you can. You have a guy that's demagoguing his position, and he is getting away with it because people are afraid of him because somebody's going to call him a racist if they disagree with it. And he has put this stuff in your face. And I don't understand. Yeah, you call him racist,
the whole thought that someone calling someone a racist is like the most egregious thing in the world. It's like tying someone up and putting him in the basement and burning them with cigarettes. You know, the people that bring that up act like they never been called a name before in their life. Like they never went to school. You're a racist. You're a this. You're a that. You're a chimpanzee. You know, your mother has hair on her knuckles. You know, how do you guys get so sensitive all of a sudden? Seriously,
you know,
that disturbs my mind. Oh my God, they're gonna call me a racist. I'm melting. Give me a break.
David, that's your phone with the echo.
Here's the problem, Jeff. When it comes to this bill. And yeah, it was passed through the Senate, and it doesn't matter if it was a Democrat majority or a Republican.
Channels.
It doesn't matter. Right, it was passed through. Here's the problem. But since it was passed through, there have been so many changes to the bill that are completely unconstitutional. They are.
Right.
These exemptions and stuff are completely unconstitutional. And it would be a disservice for a representative to not go in and try to block it. Also, when it went to the Supreme Court, and I've said this before, they took the individual mandate. They said it was constitutional if it was a tax. That means it has to go back through the congressional process and be voted on, and it never was. So the bill doesn't even exist constitutionally.
I agree with you 1,000%. Diva, your line is the one giving me the echo. No, you're not wrong. That's absolutely the fact.
I know I'm not wrong. You're wrong.
I said, no, we're not wrong. You are wrong. And the problem is...
No, you're wrong.
Well, you don't know the law or the Constitution, Diva. You know what they tell you.
Okay.
It's plain and simple.
Like I've read the Constitution for myself.
It doesn't matter whether
like
you
read
it. Diva, it doesn't matter whether you read it.
Reality escapes.
Yeah, you don't look at the facts. You just completely ignore the facts when you want your opinion to be right.
No,
and
I
it's
think,
not.
I think many people are guilty of that, Jeff.
I think it's a possibility, but the thing is I'll back up what I say.
Bring up the Supreme Court ruling and read it on air.
Obamacare was only legal as a tax.
it was not passed as a tax.
There
so
was no there was no language in that ruling
in fact,
or in the bill of it being a tax. There was no language.
In fact, their lawyers, wait a minute.
It acts like a tax, and since Congress has the power and authority to tax, that it was legal. He didn't say it was a tax. He said it acts like a tax. Cause that's, cause
well, no. There's no such thing as act like. It either is or ain't.
It is a tax. Just like Social Security is a tax. And it probably is unconstitutional.
It is.
The Constitution doesn't matter when powerful forces get together and want to get something done. Because Social Security is probably unconstitutional. The income tax is unconstitutional. A lot of these wars and conflicts that we've got into have circumvented the Constitution. The NSA,
security
unwarranted wiretapping and surveillance of American citizens is definitely unconstitutional.
Well, income tax was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. But we needed the money to fight the Civil War.
And so they kept it up.
And so they kept it up, even though it was declared unconstitutional.
They dropped it for a while, and then World War One, they used it again. Somebody's got a lot of air in the background. 330-482, is that you?
Nope, I'm just sitting here and listening to you guys. But I want to know, on a pay stub, you have Medicaid withholding, which we don't want to call it a tax, because that's supposed to take care of us when we're old. Then we have Social Security. We can't call that a tax because that's supposed to be our retirement when we grow old. Then we had a 401k that we took, and that wasn't considered a tax, but half of it is gone because the stock market controls all of that. Now we have Obamacare, and it doesn't matter what they name it, it is going to be a tax. And after this all is said, washed, and everyone's done throwing peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at each other, then it's going to come off the pay stub, too, because it's going to be an additional tax like Medicaid. It's going to happen. That's what they want. They need more money from the American people and the working force of the class of people in America that are working. They need to tax us more so they can have more money to play with.
Excuse my mouth, but to piss down a drain with stupid ideas like electric cars that don't work, and that's the problem. What do you call those things that once they catch on fire, you can't never put them out? Solar panels. Okay, how many green companies did they pour billions of dollars into that don't work?
You're starting to sound almost like a caveman now.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, give me Bertha and the girls, and I'll be happy.
I will be your
troglodyte.
A different type of caveman. Solar technology is a good thing.
It's not. It's not pissing it down a drain, because guess what? In this country, technology did not have to be spurred by government to work. If it was something good,
what
they're going
to
put in. Wait a minute. We only got 3 minutes.
Go ahead.
3 minutes, and I'm gonna let you finish.
Go ahead.
Yeah, bullet train. They're gonna put these bullet trains all over the freaking United States. And what happened? There's no private industry putting up any bullet trains.
You can't call them bullet trains anymore because there's people getting killed.
Yeah, whatever.
Redskin trains.
Redskin trains. But do you understand that is not what we need? Nobody wants to travel that way, or else the private industry would have made it happen already. That's the greatness of this country. But the thing is,
the problem why bullet trains, even though it exists in every first world modern country, and I think bullet trains are an excellent idea. They're expensive as hell, but bullet trains are an excellent idea, or fast moving trains that can get me from Los Angeles to San Francisco, which I do often. Which can get me there within, 20, 30 minutes would be amazing, would be incredible. Well, the reason why it hasn't happened is because you have the federal subsidy of the Amtrak system.
Well, no, here's the problem.
No, that's not
because it doesn't make money. Alex, we can't do it because we only got... Go ahead, Alex, quickly, and then I got to go.
I was just going to say real quick, the only reason they exist in Europe is because those cities have been there for hundreds of years. And that's the only reason why, it makes sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in the United States because we have a lot more land and we're more spread out. And so it's uneconomical for those reasons.
No, and that's why...
And they were dirt poor, and we had enough money for everybody, even our poor people, to drive cars. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We got to go. We enjoyed the day. Our callers, you did an excellent job today. I think that we've had a great discourse here today. And including you, Diva, and including you, Steve. We enjoy you. And we will see you guys back on the other side tomorrow. Tracy will be back. Afternoon with Tracy and friends.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com.